Ingredients between fresh baked bread. Try some of our favorites like the original Italian, Jersey Shore's favorite, or Jersey Mike's famous Philly cheesesteak. Jersey Mike's subs, always fresh sliced, always fresh grilled. If you know what this is, then you definitely want to be at Sportsman's Warehouse Waterfowl Weekend. Starting this Saturday and Sunday, clinics, cooking demonstrations, coloring contests, plus 25% off most regular priced waterfowl clothing, 15% off most regular priced waterfowl footwear, 10% off regular priced shotgun shells, decoys, most dog supplies. Find experts who know just the products you need. It's the annual Waterfowl Weekend at Sportsman's Warehouse this Saturday and Sunday in Rockland and Rancho Cordova. Take it outside.
My smut high bill alert let me know my daughter's garage band uses a lot of power. So now they're turning off the lights and equipment when they're not playing.
With My Energy Tools, you can set custom bill alerts and get tips to help lower your bill. Visit smud.org/myenergytools.
Sports 1140. Sports 1140. Here's KHCK AM and HC. KNCI HC3 Sacramento. CBS radio station. This is Sports 1140 KHCK. Live from the Capitol.
And I am in Las Vegas at the new T-Mobile Arena. Doug Christie back in studio. Doug, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic, Grant. I can barely hear you. I don't know if that's because you're in Vegas and you're trying to recuperate or something's going on here. But what's happening, my friend?
You know, my wife is with me. So, you know, that we had to go to a function after my show, a team function. And then I actually ended up going out to dinner with my roommate in college, who is the general manager of the Las Vegas NHL expansion franchise. And so he's here because they will start playing next year. And so we went out to a late dinner after I attended the function that I had to be at. And then, you know what, that was it. Doug, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but I was back at the hotel by 11 o'clock.
Oh, well, that's okay. I did, talking NHL, I did some research. I watched the game last night. I saw the Sharks win. And I also listened to a little Goo Goo Dolls for you, man. They're not half bad, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. That's good. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. You know, this arena is brand new. It is going to be the home for the NHL expansion franchise yet to be named. They should be unveiling the name and the colors sometime next month. And I got here a little bit early because I wanted to walk around. And it is nice, but I got to tell you, and I know that this is going to sound self-serving and it's going to sound like I'm being a homer, this arena doesn't have a leg to stand on compared to our venue in Sacramento, and that's the honest truth. That's how nice the Golden One Center is. As beautiful, and this is a state-of-the-art, brand-new building, but it's I don't even know. I don't want to sound like I'm ripping a new building. I mean, because it's nice. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't have a leg to stand on compared to the Golden One Center. And I say that because I think that people that have been to the Golden One Center, I don't have to tell them this. They already know how great our arena is. But for the many, many people that have yet to walk into the Golden One Center, I keep on saying this: you're going to be blown away. You're going to be blown away.
Yeah, no doubt. It sounds like they have a nice arena, but it's just that it's an arena.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Golden One is golden, man. It is something special. People, you just got to come out to see it. I know we're talking about it a lot. That's because it is must-see TV.
All right, talking about must-see TV, if you like baseball, there's a big game five. You've got, you know, Rich Hill going against Max Scherzer. Again, I don't really put a lot of stock in the home field. You kind of think the Dodgers are going to prevail, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I think they really need to prevail more than anything. But on the road, I think there is a lot of pressure on Matt Scherzer. I think that he has to come out because when you look at Rich Hill compared to Max, Max is the ace. Rich, you know, they got him at the midseason deadline. They're trying to, you know, bring him around, but Max has a lot of pressure. And if the Dodgers can get some bats on it, you never know.
All right, so we got baseball to talk about. Again, if you still want to comment on what happened the other night at AT&T, you know, you can do so. I don't know if you want to relive the pain, but if that's something that you want to do, we'll be happy. We'll be happy to
You're
talk
a dandy.
About it.
You're
well,
a
listen,
dandy.
Listen. I we're all fans. You love your teams. I love my teams. And
yes.
There's nothing worse than listen. You experienced it, and I experienced it with the Robert Horry shot. Now the series didn't end, but it ended shortly thereafter with Game 7. And listen. There's nothing worse than the finality of the year ending. And in many instances, and especially in baseball, it is instantaneous. You know, like it is instantaneous. And it's I feel for the fans, but then again, they've also had the chance to celebrate three championships over the last 7 years.
Well, Grant, there are some words, I guess, damn and hell are some words that you can say on the air, but you just used absolute profanity. Robert Ori is really cussing on the air, buddy.
I know, and I trust me, I was doing that game on radio, and I can't even begin to tell you I can't even put it into words. But like, you know what? That's a different lifetime, man. Do you know 2 weeks from tonight,
woo!
Doug, you and I right now are going to be broadcasting from inside the Golden 1 Center on opening night after the Kings play the night before in Phoenix, but the home opener 2 weeks from tonight. Can you believe that? Two weeks from tonight.
A Cheshire cat smile on my face. I absolutely can't wait. People are going to be decked out, rocking and rolling in there. And it is just going to be – it's going to be something to see, because I was listening yesterday and I heard you talking about, yeah, there's been other things in there, Grant, but there hasn't been NBA basketball.
Nope. I can't wait. I cannot wait. So if you want to call the show, we'll be with you for the full 4 hours. We got Kings basketball tonight as they take on the Lakers, and then they will leave tomorrow morning for Lexington, Kentucky. They'll play in Rupp Arena on Saturday against the Washington Wizards. Then they'll come home for the last preseason game Tuesday against the L.A. Clippers. So for Dave Yeager, Doug, it's his final three games. He's still trying to figure out which combinations work best with whom, and he's still trying to, you know, figure out his rotation. And so these three games are going to determine a lot for some of the players on this basketball team. These three games, I think, are going to go a long way on opening night in less than 2 weeks in Phoenix. You know, the rotation. There are going to be some guys left out in the cold for a while, and that's just the reality of the situation.
I agree with you. I think these are very important games. Unlike a lot of preseasons, you don't see that. But players like Willie Cauley-Stein, Kosta Koufos, those guys, I think Ben McLemore as well. You can also probably minus out, like you said, the rookies. But then there are some, you know, Matt Barnes is going to suck up some minutes from somebody. Is that going to be Omri? Who's it going to be? So there are going to be a lot of decisions. Coach Yeager is a little bit behind the eight ball in the point guard position, but I think he understands with Ty Lawson what he has, and then when Darren gets back, they'll have to figure out that as well.
I'd be shocked if Matt Barnes doesn't play at least 25 minutes a game.
I totally agree with you, because he brings so much. I mean, he first of all, he brings energy. That is one thing that was totally lacking last year. But he also brings energy on the defensive side of the ball. He knocks down three-pointers, and he is highly competitive. Those are all things that if I'm coaching, I want that on my team.
All right, so we've got that to talk about. We've got Thursday Night Football. Trevor Siemian is back under center, and so it's Denver at San Diego. And, of course, on Sunday, Kaepernick will be starting for the first time this year in Buffalo against the Bills. But to tonight's game, you know, you just keep on asking yourself, you know, is this going to be the last game that Mike McCoy coaches with the San Diego Chargers if they have another loss? Now, when you look at this game, they should lose. Denver's a better team. They've got, you know, a better football team, period. The Chargers have a better quarterback, but gosh, you know, they've already lost, you know, their star wide receiver. They've lost their best running back. They've had injuries all over the field. And Doug, you know what? They don't know how to close. They have not been able to close this year, the Chargers.
And you know what, Grant, we've been talking about this, but when it comes to closing, there are some that goes on the players, but a lot of it, especially in the NFL, in my opinion, because it's about schemes and plays and time management and clock management and all those different things. When you're going to the fourth quarter and you have a lead and you have a player like Phillip Rivers and he can get you within field goal range and a lot of different things, you should win some of those games. So I agree. I think he is totally on that seat isn't even hot. That seat is burning hot, man.
All right, so we've got a lot of things that we're going to talk about at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And Doug, I really like what I'm hearing coming out of the NBA as it relates to the collective bargaining agreement. There are many reports that they are extremely close to finalizing the new CBA, and it is expected to come out in the next several weeks. And why that's important goes without saying. The last two collective bargaining agreement sessions have resulted in lockouts. Listen, there's so much money right now. The league has never been wealthier. The league has never been in a better place. The league has never had better attendance, better TV ratings. The money is overflowing. The players are making more than ever. The owners are making money. Everyone's making money. So to me, this is kind of a no-brainer. But, Doug, you know what? Sometimes sometimes when you get stubborn people in a room, they do stupid things and they can't come up with a negotiation that satisfies both parties. This would have been, in my opinion, and again, it's not done yet, so I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here. But Doug, what would have happened with the money the way it is right now, okay, if they had not been able to come to an agreement down the road, and come July 1st next year, we would have had another lockout?
Well, first of all, fans would have been screaming. I think that it would have just been absolutely deplorable. It would have just been really, really ugly, Grant, in my opinion. I think that this goes without saying that both sides, Mrs. Roberts and Commissioner Silver, are really sitting down, and they've looked at the landscape of things that have happened in the past, of lockouts and different things. And now that if everyone's talking about money, Grant, everyone's making money. So if everyone's making money, let's make sure that we are signed. We are, everything is going. The fans get their product on time the right way. And I totally applaud both sides for making sure that, because I think we're a year and something away, or almost 2 years, that they are already ahead of the curve. They're sitting down, they're talking, and get that thing signed, man.
And now to Seattle, because the people up there have heard that expansion would be back on the table if Seattle approves their arena. Now, I know how you feel about it. I used to love going to Seattle. The Sonics have had a rich tradition. I thought it was disgraceful. I thought it was an absolute outrage and a shame that they lost their basketball team to Oklahoma City. But the reason why they still do not have a basketball team there, the NBA will not even look at Seattle until the city and the private-public partnership comes together and approves a new arena that needs to be built. The NBA will not even look at Seattle until that happens.
Well, Grant, you look at Quest Field and Safeco Field. They are right beside each other. And from my understanding, Chris Hansen, who is the guy who is in charge of bringing, has all the money to bring a team back to Seattle. He owns a piece of land right next. So now you'll have three different complexes together. And I think the only thing that's holding him up probably from building it is the okay from the city. So this is a city council thing from my understanding. And once that gets passed, because there's a first-class town, and it's my hometown. I absolutely love it. Grew up on the Sonics, world champions, the Lonnie Shelton, Gus Williams, DJ, the whole thing. And you're right, it ripped a lot of people's hearts out, and I'm just hoping and praying, because on top of that, I know you and a lot of people love to come through Portland and go to Seattle as well. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
And don't be surprised if they're able to approve a building that down the road in the not too distant future, they would get the NHL in Seattle too. I mean, Seattle is a major city. It's a huge market for sports. I mean, you just talked about, and we haven't even talked about the University of Washington, Doug, and how many people, I mean, it's a huge college town. It's a huge sports town. Don't be, and there's a ton of money up there. Don't be surprised if you see not only the NBA come back to Seattle, but the NHL as well. But it's not going to happen unless they approve the new arena. So we have all of those things that we're going to talk about at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Doug, yesterday you and I talked with a columnist for the local paper here in Las Vegas about the Raiders coming in. So while I've been here, I've talked to some locals about how they feel about the Raiders coming to Vegas. And I've tried to talk to people at the restaurants. I've tried to talk to people at the hotels. I've talked to my cab drivers. I really am trying to get a feel, and everyone is genuinely excited for the prospect. I didn't run into one person that said, no, I don't want it, or no, I don't think it's going to happen. They're going full steam ahead here in Las Vegas.
Well, it also goes hand in hand with the fact that the Raiders have a really good product to put in front of them. Now, if it was the Chargers, maybe they wouldn't feel that way. But shots fired. I'm just being, okay. But what I'm saying, Grant, is you got a town that loves sports. They gamble. They love sports. So I could see any sports team that's coming, those people are going to absolutely love it. Now, they might not like the tax hike, but beyond that, they're going to absolutely love it.
Yeah, the tax hike, though, is not going to be paid by the people that live here. The tax hike is going to be paid by the people that travel here and stay in hotels. So, in other words, if you and I go to Vegas, okay, and we're staying at a hotel, we're going to pay more for our hotel because there's going to be a tax surcharge. That's what they do when you go to Orlando, go to Disney World. That's how they pay for a lot of things in these tourist destinations. The people that live there don't pay for it. The people that go there as tourists pay for it. So, it's basically, it's called a tourism tax, really, for lack of a better term. They would, and you'd see all the hotels. hotels here, Doug, and all the occupancy. And, you know, listen, you know, it's unbelievable here. So that's how they're going to generate the revenue. They're going to have a hotel tax.
Well, you know, you and I, we're not supposed to pay for rooms when we go to Vegas. I thought, Grant, what
the
heck?
We do not. We do not. But I got to tell you, these Sacramento Kings?
Yes, they will
be
paying
the tax. They will be paying the tax when they come here. But that's just the way the world works.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's much easier to get someone else to pay for something, okay,
yes,
than your residents to live there. I mean, so if you asked the people in Las Vegas if they were the ones that had to pick up the tab, there would be no way in hell that this thing would pass. But when you are charging outsiders that are coming here to stay in your hotels, yes, it will pass.
You know, Grant, one thing that I find interesting about Vegas is, are they going to have a fan base, or is it going to be built in, meaning that a lot of the casinos, because you're going to have to buy seats if you're a casino, because when people come in, you want to be able to give them tickets. What do you think the percentage of true fans to people who just are coming and going to games will be?
Well, I know for the hockey team, they have just under 16,000 season tickets sold.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, that's a lot. Now, in my opinion, a lot of those tickets will be sold on the secondary market. And I think what's going to happen is, this being, you know, obviously a winter sport in a very mild climate, I believe that you are going to have people that live in Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, other Chicago, Detroit, and I can keep on going and on, that are going to make Vegas kind of a fun destination to go to, which is fun anyway. But now they'll come in and spend a couple of days, enjoy the beautiful weather, and watch and cheer on their hockey team here in this venue. That's what I think is going to happen. The season tickets had to be sold for the NHL to grant an expansion franchise, but I believe a lot of those tickets will be put up on the secondary market, and it will be very interesting to see what the dynamic is in here for professional sports. Will it be a true home ice advantage out of, let's say, a 100% capacity? Let's say you get 100% every night. Will it be 70% for the home team, 30% for the road team? I can tell you this, when the LA Kings come in here, I bet you're going to have a ton of LA Kings fans in here.
Yeah.
I bet you you're going to have, when Anaheim comes in here, I bet you you're going to have a ton of Ducks fans in here. So those are some of the things, and same goes with the Sharks. I think when the Sharks come into play in here, you're going to have a ton of Sharks fans. So it'll be very interesting to see.
You know, one thing that when I think of Raiders fans are very special. You see them dressed up, they come in their garb, and they are serious. And I don't know if Vegas is going to bring that kind of Raider love, man.
Well, here's what I do know. It's 8 times a year, okay, and they will fill out the stadium. I had this conversation with 49er fans before Levi Stadium opened. I had Jed York on one day, and I asked them flat out, okay, before they even put a shovel in the ground, about PSLs, because I experienced PSLs back in New York with the Jets and the Giants at MetLife Stadium. And the reality is that PSLs are a disaster, okay? And you can ask anyone that bought the PSLs in Oakland when they moved back from L.A. You can ask the 49er fans now that paid for PSLs, okay? All it is taking your money and flushing it down the toilet. And so I told 49er fans before they even had to pay for their tickets that they were going to be blown away at how much they were going to have to pay, not only for their personal seat license, but how much the tickets were going to go up. And I had a lot of people calling me, telling me that they were not going to renew their tickets, that they could not afford to go anywhere. Now, the money, you know, it's supply and demand, okay? What it's doing is it is pricing out a lot of the fans. I'm telling Raider fans this right now because I told them this last month, and I told them 2 months ago, and I told them 3 months ago. They may, and I'm not stereotyping, I'm not generalizing, I'm just making this statement, okay? There are a lot of fans right now that think that they'll just come to Vegas and watch the Raiders play, the same fans that go to Oakland to watch the team play there, okay? They have absolutely no idea, or at least I don't think they have an idea of what the cost is going to be to get in to see an NFL game in Las Vegas. It is going to be so much more expensive than what they're currently paying to go see the Raiders in the Coliseum. So, you know, but so to answer your question, will we have a stadium that has 100% Raider fans, or is it going to be a dynamic, which I just kind of told you in hockey, when they play the Denver Broncos, is it going to be the Broncos fans that live in Denver? Are they going to make it a big weekend? Hey, let's go to Vegas for the weekend.
Yep.
Let's buy our tickets on the secondary market, and let's go to the game. What's going to be like when the Chiefs, are the people that are freezing their butts off in Kansas City going to go, hey, you know what? Let's make our weekend getaway. Let's do our vacation around going to see the Chiefs play in Vegas. That's what I'm interested to seeing.
Yeah, I would say the way that you just broke that down, Grant, was very, very well. And I agree with you. I think a lot of fans will do just that because Vegas is a destination. It's usually not too cold, so you're going to get warm. There's a lot of things to do. It's relatively cheap to stay there, food and different things. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
And here's the other issue, and just for sake of disclosure here, I had season tickets, and my family's had season tickets in New York for the Giants before I was born. And the my brother's a school teacher out on Long Island. He teaches math at high school. And our personal seat licenses were $10,000 a piece, and they raised the cost of our tickets from $85 a game when we were on the lower level to $140 a game. And so my brother said, I'm not doing this. I can't afford it. And I said, I completely understand. And you know what? It's so easy. Anytime you want to go to a game, even in New York, to see a team like the Giants, who for years and years and years had a waiting list so long that if you were on the waiting list, you wouldn't get season tickets. You would be lucky if your sibling, your children, when they got to be your age, would get season tickets. That's how difficult it was to get tickets. Now, if you go on StubHub or any of these secondary markets, okay, right now, you can go to any game you want, okay, and you can basically pay face value. I just did it 2 weeks ago, okay? The dynamic of the secondary market has changed things so much. Now, you may say, okay, well, what happens if they're playing in the NFC Championship game? Well, you won't be paying face value, and if you have a personal seat license, well, obviously, you're guaranteed that you're going to get tickets for the playoffs. But are you going to spend $10,000? Are you going to spend $20,000 a seat for a personal seat license just so that if your team makes it to the playoffs, you have the I sure as hell wouldn't. I'll pay the premium on this. If a ticket's $150 and I want to go see a team play in the playoffs and I got to pay $300, that seems like a bargain to me because I didn't have to write a check for $10,000 or $20,000 or $40,000 for my personal seat license.
I absolutely agree with you, and kudos to your brother. So he didn't make you pick up the tab is what you're saying.
I told him, I said, why would I want to pay that kind of money when I can go get tickets anytime I want, even though the venue is sold out for every single game? Wow. And I do that, and you know what? It's a piece of cake. And I mean, how can you? So here's what I'm saying, okay? My brother went to games. I'm using him as an example because I dealt with this with the 49er fans, and I spent day after day after day after day when the pricing came out for the seats at Levi's Stadium. I can't tell you how many people called up my show and said, Grant, you know what? You're exactly right. I can't afford it anymore. Now, there's a guy waiting in line that can afford it, okay? And there's a lot of companies that can afford it, but the quote-unquote, I use the term common fan, and I can't define what common fan is. But what I'm saying is when you have these new football stadiums, okay, and it's much different than a hockey arena or a basketball arena or a baseball stadium because of the number of games played. When you build a billion-plus-dollar football stadium and you have 8 games a year, okay, guess who's paying for it? The ticket prices are through the roof, and it prices out a lot of the quote-unquote common fan that have been going to games for 30 years or 20 years or 40 years. That's the reality of the situation.
Wow. So we're looking at corporate fans is what we're looking
yes,
at, Nate.
That's exactly what you're looking at.
Wow. Crazy.
All right. We will come back. We'll take your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It's 325, time for the 2016 year-end clearance sale, Jacuzzi of Sacramento. This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHTK. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Kings and Lakers tonight. We'll have a pregame. We'll have the pregame at 7 and all the action coming your way at 7:30. And then the Kings, as I said, 2 more games after tonight in Lexington against Washington Saturday, and then home Tuesday at the beautiful Golden 1 Center against the L.A. Clippers. Doug, you know, I want to get back to tonight's game down in San Diego. If the Chargers lose and either lose in a sloppy fashion the way they have the last couple of weeks or they're not competitive, I'm thinking this may be the last game for Mike McCoy.
I agree with you. From what I'm reading, I mean, they're not, you know, they're open maybe to firing him mid-season. I think that, Grant, you said it yesterday. When you got 4th-and-1 and you choose to go for a field goal, I think you lost so much of the team that it's tough to get them back. And it's not like that he's just been, you know, trailblazing and beaten. But also, when you start looking at the management of the team and saying that if you got these fourth-quarter leads, some of it is the players. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But when you – in football, it's a little bit different because you can – take 2-3 minutes off the clock just with timeouts and first downs and getting out of bounds. And there's different things that you can do. And it doesn't look like he's been managing it well. And, yeah, he definitely could get fired.
You know, if they're 3-1, I'm okay with going for a field goal there. But when you're 1-3 and you have to win to keep your season alive, okay, if you had told your team before they left San Diego, hey, guys, listen, we can get right back in this race if we can make a foot. Who's, you know, raise your hands if that's a good scenario for you. Okay? No, really. That's really what it came down to. And I listen, do we know for a fact that the Chargers would have scored a touchdown? No, we don't. Okay? But the reality is they were moving the ball up and down the field, and I like their chances. But you're right. The message you sent to your team there, absolutely ridiculous. Hey, we've also talked a lot about Colin Kaepernick. He is going to be starting for the 49ers on Sunday. Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee, our 49ers insider, is going to join us at 4:32, and we'll talk some baseball with Dan Plesac from the MLB Network. That's at 5:32, and Ken Korak is here in Las Vegas. He'll be stopping by to say hello and talk some playoff baseball at 6:18. Nationals, Dodgers, Game 5. So when we talk about the National League Series beginning in Chicago, you think it's going to be Cubs and Dodgers, right? That's what you're going?
That's what I'm going.
Okay, I'm going to go Nationals, and part of it is my affection as a person and as a baseball guy for Dusty Baker. I love Dusty. I'm a Dusty Baker fan.
I am too.
I'm cheering for the hometown kid from Sacramento, and that's the reason why I want Washington to win. And again, do I have a lot of belief that they're going to win? Not based on what I've seen in the last 2 years. But I'm going to go with – I'm picking Washington because I want to see Dusty go against the Cubs. Can you imagine, you know, Dusty – I thought Dusty playing the Giants would have been a phenomenal storyline. Oh, but still, you know, he's managed the Cubs, so we'll see. We'll see, Doug. But I think it's going to be a close game, don't you? I think this is – I don't see this game getting out of hand.
It's so tough to say because when you talk about Rich Hill, could it get away from him quickly? Scherzer, if he could get on a roll, he could hold them down. But – you know, last time we were on the air and we were talking about the Giants and it being a 1-2 game, right. I think it was like 5-6 or something like that. So, man, that's a tough call. I'm not even sure.
See, to me, you're not going to let your pitcher get out of control because if your pitcher gets in trouble early, it's win or go home. I don't think the managers are going to stick long with a pitcher if they don't feel they've got their A stuff. I think at that point you got to go to your bullpen. I think Max Scherzer, you know, Rich Hill did not pitch well coming down the stretch for the Dodgers. Now, he has thrown gems, and he really, on top of everything, had a very good year. But as of late, he wasn't the same pitcher that we saw. He had that blister issue on his finger. Remember, he got pulled from a perfect game, okay, by Dave Roberts when he was pitching a perfect game in the seventh inning, even though he didn't have a terribly high pitch count because they didn't want that blister issue to come up again. I mean, Doug, name me a guy that doesn't have a high pitch count that's coming out of the game in the seventh inning when they're throwing a perfect game.
I probably couldn't come up with one, but let me. If anyone has motivation, Rich Hill should have motivation.
Yes.
I mean, he's on short rest. He's a free agent, and not only that, and he was released by the team that he's facing tonight in June. So he should want to throw absolute darts and bullets.
Well, listen. Here's the deal with Rich Hill. Okay. He had great games with the A's, and then he got that blister on his finger. I actually interviewed him, I want to say it may have been late June, middle of June, early July, and he had just pitched like a 2 or 3 hit shutout, and they were on their way to Seattle. And I got him on after the A's had shut out Seattle. Sorry, Doug, I didn't mean, you know, it just happened to be that.
Sure.
And you know, he was – you know, a guy that felt like, hey, he had found himself, he was pitching great, blah, blah, blah. And then before you know it, he's traded along with Reddick, Josh Reddick, and they end up in L.A. Now they're in the playoffs, and you're right. I mean, hey, he's got a chance to send the Dodgers into the NLCS. It's a great spot to be in if you're Rich Hill.
Yes, and when I look at both of those pitchers, I would say Scherzer probably has more pressure on him because he is the ace, Grant.
Yep.
This is expected of him to go in and handle a game like this where Rich Hill is trying to prove himself. So a lot of pressure for the home club tonight.
All right. It is right now 3:38 time for the 2016 year-end clearance, jacuzziofsacramento.com. I'm Grant Napier along with Doug Christie. And, again, we're going to get you right up to right up till Kings basketball, 7 o'clock with the pregame and 7:30 with all of the action. So if you have some thoughts, who are you picking tonight, Dodgers or Nats, let us hear from you. Your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick if you're a 49ers fan. Personally, I don't think it makes any difference. I don't think he's that good anymore, and I don't think the Niners are any good. I think that McCoy is going to run up and down the field and have a picnic against this defense with all the injuries. They have not been able to stop the run at all since Navarro Bowman got hurt. I don't see how San Francisco is going to win this game on Sunday. I just don't see it.
I think Cap is going to come out. He is going to – the pocket's going to collapse on him. He is going to run around. He might play let their aggressiveness, because they are a top 10 defense. They've been sacking people left and right. He might let that play against them, let their aggressiveness play against them. Get out of the pocket, hopefully uses his legs and extends some plays. Maybe those receivers can get open by extending plays. And I'm just thinking something in the air, Grant. I don't know.
Okay, well, if he extends plays, you better get down, because he'll get killed by that defense. No, I'm serious.
You're so optimistic, but you are right, though. I mean, they have absolutely been a terror,
yep.
And they've been sacking people left and right. So he does. He has to be careful. Of all games, this is probably not the one that you want to come back on.
No. All right, let's get to Jim. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, you know, and I agree with you guys about San Francisco. McCoy, because of who they're playing, was my first pick in the DraftKings for this weekend. So, I mean, I think he's going to run all over the field on them. But, Grant, let me ask you something. Based on your experience, because I heard the news brief about how Mark Davis does not have the NFL owner's backing, do you think that – I guess there's questions of the value of the team if they go to Vegas, because I'm excited about the move.
Well, first of all, I don't agree with that. I don't know where that report came from. I think he does have the backing, and we had a reporter on here from the Las Vegas paper yesterday that's a lot closer to the situation than I am, and he said he's got the power owners behind him, and he mentioned Jerry Jones and a couple of others, and they're very influential. Personally, I think he does have the backing to move the Raiders here to Las Vegas, because the owners are not going to prevent the Raiders from moving if there's no stadium deal in Oakland. They'll have no choice. Do I think in a perfect world that the owners would like the Raiders to stay in Oakland? Yes, I do. If the city of Oakland came up with a stadium deal tomorrow, do I think the NFL would allow the Raiders to move to Las Vegas? No, I don't think they would approve it. But I don't see any stadium deal happening in Oakland. I don't see it in the near future. And for that reason, the owners will have no choice but to allow the Raiders to move to Vegas if this is an ironclad stadium deal in this city.
I'm on board with that. And I just want to ask you, do you think that they would become one of the more valuable franchises if they moved to Vegas because of everything that goes into it and the amount of money you just spoke of earlier that it'll take to go down there and see a game?
I think anytime you have a state-of-the-art $1+ billion stadium, then it puts you in a very nice category among NFL teams. This is not a very big market, okay? It's a very small market, but there is, we know, a ton of money here. I don't know what that does to the valuation of a team, but when you're talking about a new stadium that has, you know, that's costing over $1 billion, that certainly moves you up the ladder in terms of the valuation of your franchise.
Well, thank you, guys. I'm excited. I just hope they keep the name the same. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Well, I can't see Mark Davis not keeping the Raiders' name regardless of where they move. I would say that there would be no chance of that, Doug. Could you ever imagine the Davis family not calling their team the Raiders? I can't.
I can't, but Las Vegas Raiders, it doesn't ring, man. Los Angeles Raiders even sounded better, but Oakland Raiders is where it's at. I don't see them changing the name. They would have to change the shield and the whole thing. That would just be just crazy.
Well, you know, it's like saying, you know, the Kings are playing the L.A. Lakers tonight. When you think of L.A., do you think Lakes? I mean, they came from Minneapolis, but the reality is, you know what, a lot of franchises keep their name. Now, we know that didn't happen in Seattle. That was part of the deal, okay?
Trying to kill me over here, man.
No, there's no
– Yeah,
here's
right.
The deal. If the Raiders leave Oakland, there's no possibility of the NFL going back there. So they're not going to, you know, make part of the stipulation to leave the name behind. You know, it's not like the Browns. Most people thought when Art Modell moved the Browns out of Cleveland to Baltimore, most people thought that the NFL would go back to Cleveland. Let me tell you something. There's nobody that thinks that the NFL is going back to Oakland if the Raiders move. That's not going to happen.
Yes, I agree with you. So, yeah, keeping the name – There's no way that they would do that. Yes, no. I agree.
All right, we'll come right back here on Sports 1140 KHTK. We are back with you here on Sports 1140 KHTK. I am coming to you from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Doug back in Sacramento. We've got Kings basketball. We've got a little NFL football tonight, Denver and San Diego. You got Game 5 in the NLDS with the Dodgers and the Nats. We've got news as it pertains to the Raiders. We talked about it yesterday. Are they going to be playing here? And how long will it take, Doug, for them to build a new stadium? Which, you know, again, these stadiums do take a while to build, and football stadiums in particular. That you know, it's a minimum 2-year process. That's minimum. You know, the Rams aren't even moving into their new stadium for 3 full seasons. So, you know, these are not projects that are done quickly.
Well, Grant, when you look at the difficulty at which you try to build it, did you see they got a Star Trek type of roof that opens and closes?
Yes.
Well, that in and of itself is probably putting another year on it. So I'm going to say 3.5 years easy.
Yep.
But they do things fast in Vegas, so you never know.
All right, I want to talk about something that happened over in China. And I think that in this particular instance, the person that was involved, okay, is getting a raw deal here. Bobby Brown is a reserve guard for the Houston Rockets. And he's actually played over in China for 3 years. He's very familiar with the culture. And, Doug, I've been blessed to be over in China with the Kings twice and go to the Great Wall. And I know you've done a couple of trips. And there's, to me, the Great Wall is, I would recommend it to anyone that has any way and means of getting over to Beijing to do it and make a trip to the Great Wall, because I think it's spectacular. But in this particular instance, the Houston Rockets did a tour, and they checked out the Great Wall. And Bobby Brown wrote in chalk his name on the Great Wall. And that is strictly forbidden. There are areas on the Great Wall, they're called a graffiti section, where they allow you to write your name. But that's the only part, and he did not know. And he's getting destroyed for this, and I think it's unfortunate. He said, quote, "We were out enjoying the Great Wall. I've never been. It was my first time. I wrote my name on the wall in chalk. I saw different writings. I didn't mean any harm by it. I made a mistake. I could have just put my hand over it and erased it. It will never happen again. I've been playing in China for 3 years now. I have the utmost respect for the Chinese culture and the way of living here. I pretty much adapted coming from the States here for 3 years. My teammates, the fans all over were great to me, and I just want to sincerely apologize for that." You know, he's getting raked over the coals for this. I think it's ridiculous. First of all, it's chalk. It will come off. That's number one. And number two, it's obviously was not done with malice.
I totally agree with you. When I looked at this, first I wanted to open it up and see it. But then when I opened it up and saw it, first of all, Grant, you got to think, if they're writing on the Great Wall in chalk, where in the heck did they get the chalk at? If you look at the picture right below it, there's some little bit of scribbling. It looks like maybe kids wrote on it. So, you know, it's unfortunate. You can tell by his apology that it was totally sincere. He did not mean it at all. And he did it in chalk. So you could spit on your hand and wipe that off.
Yeah, and again, I've been to the Great Wall on 3 different occasions, and I've never noticed. I have not passed through the graffiti wall, so I don't know where it would be. I have noticed names on the wall that have been carved into the wall. All right, I've noticed that, but I don't ever recall it being done in ink or chalk. And I guess, you know, again, we are talking about the Great Wall of China. Certainly anyone would understand how they would want to protect and maintain the integrity of the wall. I get that. But we're talking about chalk, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about chalk, all right? As soon as it rains, the chalk will come right off. Relax, for crying out loud.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And the fact that he's been there and he has respect for their culture and different things is totally, totally understandable. And the fact is, Grant, you got to understand, this picture that we're looking at online of Bobby Brown's autograph, he took it himself. So he told on himself. He didn't.
Yes,
this
he
isn't
didn't know.
Something he mean to do. He had no idea.
No. All right. So I wanted to put that in there, as we've got a lot of topics going on tonight. If you want to call the show again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Something else I wanted to talk to you about, and it's really a shame what's happened to Chris Bosh with his health. But the Heat, who signed Bosh to a 4-year, $88 million deal back in, I want to say, 2014. And he's, you know, we know he's had blood clots, and that's limited him for the last 2 years. And if you've been following this story, folks, the Heat said, you know, they're not clearing him medically, and they basically said his career with them is over. But Bosch wants to continue playing. And according to Zach Lowe from ESPN, the talk is right now that the Heat will wait until after March before releasing Bosch. Now, you might ask, well, why would they do that? He will be ineligible for the postseason for another team if they do it before that, which, you know, that seems kind of selfish, okay? The second is that if Bosch does not play 25 games this year for another NBA team, his salary would not count against the salary cap for next season. That would free up around $25 million for the Heat. So I see both sides of this. What I don't see, Doug, and maybe you can help me with this, because you played in the league for a number of years, Chris Bosch has made a ton of money. Chris Bosch is, you know, obviously not even really in the prime of his life yet. He hasn't even reached that. Why would he even take the chance with blood clots? I mean, why would he take that risk? Only he can answer that. But, Doug, that's the part that I have trouble understanding. He's won titles. He's been at the top of the mountain in his sport. He's financially stable for the rest of his life. Why would you take that chance?
You know, Grant, I asked myself that question until I remembered a little interview that I saw with Chris, and he kind of said that, look, basketball is my life. It's what I do. I don't do anything else. And there are some people who are wrapped up in it that much, and he will understand. I mean, he has kids and a wife and different things as you go along, but when you are in it, sometimes it's hard, you know, for different people to kind of get away with that, get away from that. So it's a tough one, you know, because they talk about down there in Miami about so much love and different things in the organization, but from LeBron leaving a lot of venom, D-Wade leaving a lot of venom, and now with Chris Bosch, a lot of venom, and I agree with you. Some of this is it's business, so yep. I totally understand that, and you have to do what's best for your organization. But at the same time, a guy who's been this loyal to you to do these little tiny things that help you more than help him.
Absolutely.
It's tough.
Yeah. No, it's the business of professional sports, plain and simple. All right. Doug and I will come back. Hey, Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee will be on with us at 4:32, our 49ers insider. We'll get all the latest on San Francisco as they will leave tomorrow and fly to Buffalo and get ready for the game on Sunday. That's coming up next hour. This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHTK.